Surprises on the left, a wide open field on the right. Let me channel Dan Rather here when I say the presidential race has more twists than Chubby Checker drinking out of a crazy straw walking through a corn maze in Indiana.
Woo!
That felt good. The outcome is ripe for some serious blogging. So let's get to a couple of friends of the Bryant Park Project. We have Bill Scher, blogger from Liberal Oasis and Campaign for America's Future, and Eric Erickson, the editor of Red State. They're both lined up for you. Now, we did this last week, post-Iowa caucus, and we flipped a coin, Daniel, for who went first. Eric went first last time, so we're going to mix it up this time and talk to Bill out of the gate. Hi, Bill.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no worries. So on your blog, you wrote, well, that was weird. What was weird about it to you?
Well, it's odd when every single poll is wrong.
Right.
We're used to polls being wrong, but not this much across the board. And I think within the blogosphere, there's just as much surprise as throughout all the political media. Although I think there's a little more joy among some bloggers because they like seeing the media getting it wrong. Before the Iowa caucus, Atrios, one of the top bloggers, had said, I hope Edwards wins, not because I necessarily support him, just I just want to see the media narrative be completely upended. And that's essentially what you saw here today, and it brings a healthy skepticism to a lot of the bloviating that you get leading up to these primaries and caucuses.
So after this roller coaster week that Senator Clinton had, she was tough Clinton at the debate Saturday, she was emotional Clinton after that on Monday, victorious Clinton last night. She said in her speech that she had found her voice. Do you think she has?
We'll see. I don't know if it's so much about what she did so much, except for the mere fact that she was obviously still fighting, and people often respond to that. There were several moments of sexist attacks and slights towards Clinton over the past 24 hours, and I doubt every voter saw every single one of them, but they probably saw one or two, whether it's Chris Matthews badgering her and being disrespectful to her on MSNBC, whether it's seeing Obama and Edwards seemingly ganging up on her during the debate. There were hecklers with "iron my shirt" signs at one of her rallies. Those sorts of things might very well have rallied women behind Clinton because she did much better with women in New Hampshire than she did in Iowa.
So what does John Edwards have to do to get on the grid here? What's a brother got to do?
He seemed to have a strategy hoping that Obama would win, knock Clinton out of the race so he can go mano a mano with Obama, which never made sense to me. Now the thing's a free-for-all. He has been very consistent on his message, and it wouldn't make sense for him, I think, to start talking about something different. He has to hope that his message has more resonance than it did in New Hampshire, in Nevada. He has planted his flag on economic populism, on fighting lobbyists, and not having them have a seat at the table. We'll see if that message has more resonance in Nevada than before. It obviously did better in Iowa than New Hampshire. There's definitely variations in these states. And now that there's no single candidate with sole momentum, he has more of a shot, I think.
Bill, how important are Nevada and South Carolina going into the super-duper awesome Tuesday?
Every race is important right now. You can't parcel one of these things out. Someone's got to try to put a string of these things together. And if not, you go into Super Tuesday, which is on February 5th, over 20 states going at the same time. I don't think there's been any time where this many primaries has gone at once. And it becomes more of a money race at that point. Do you have the budget to put enough advertising up so people even hear your message? If you don't win anything up until that point, the money's going to dry up on you. That's Edwards' big problem right now, that he might run out of money by February 5th. He would theoretically need to win something before then just to be able to stay on the air.
Oh, but can't we just whip out a checkbook?
It's very difficult when you have that many states at once.
So you get a low-interest loan.
I'm just kidding. So are your readers, the folks who are commenting on your blog post, are they pleased with the outcome last night, displeased? Do they think it's as weird as you did?
You know, on the last show that I did with you guys, there's much more unity in the Democratic Party right now than the Republican Party. You know, all the candidates, Edwards, Clinton, Obama, they're all for universal health care. They all want to end the war in Iraq. They all want to fight global warming with a cap on greenhouse gas emissions. So there isn't a deep sense of there's no fratricide going on right now. So people are a little happier watching this play out. You know, if you go on to, you know, feministing.com, which is the premier young women's liberal website, there isn't everyone just cheering for Hillary on that site, as you might, even though there's definitely anger at how she was treated. But you see positive comments for Obama and for Edwards, as well as for Clinton. So there isn't uniformity here, but at the same time, there isn't people, you know, duking it out on these comment threads on the liberal side.
Biden and Chris Dodd dropped out after Iowa. Will we see any casualties now in our post-New Hampshire world?
I imagine Bill Richardson is going to drop out at this point. And if he endorses, I don't know. He hasn't really garnered enough support in his own campaign to make that endorsement matter. One wonders if maybe there'll be a heavy leaning on Edwards now. You know, if Edwards is essentially almost treated Obama like his second choice next to Clinton, if Edwards did endorse Obama, that would be a huge deal. But Edwards didn't seem very inclined to drop out last night. Maybe if he did lose in Nevada, that might change.
We're talking to Bill Scher, a blogger from Liberal Oasis, about last night's primary results. And let's talk about who won on the side that you don't necessarily write about positively, let's say. John McCain. What did you think about the McCain win? Was that expected?
It was expected, but you know, McCain was running a single state campaign for about 6 weeks. You look at polls for McCain in Michigan and South Carolina and Florida, he is at the bottom. Now, polls can change very quickly, or polls can be totally wrong, as we know. But there's been a deep antipathy to McCain in the conservative movement for a long time. The only reason why he did well in New Hampshire right now is because a lot of conservative voters looked at the rest of the field and said, wow, I hate these guys more. But
right.
I don't know if that translates into other states. You know, again, you have Huckabee winning Iowa, Romney winning Wyoming, McCain winning New Hampshire. Total free-for-all, no one with singular momentum. You have openings maybe for even Fred Thompson in South Carolina, maybe Giuliani in Florida. Who knows? That's a bloody mess. And different than the Democratic Party, not a lot of unanimity on issues. You had a big split showing in Iowa with Huckabee winning on economic populism and criticizing Bush's foreign policy, McCain winning in New Hampshire saying, let's stay in Iraq for 100 years. You know, immigration was a bigger issue in Iowa than it was in New Hampshire. So there's a lot more division over there, and it's very unclear how that plays out.
Bill Scher is a blogger at Campaign for America's Future and Liberal Oasis. He also wrote a book called Wait, Don't Move to Canada. Hey, Bill, thanks a lot. We'll probably talk to you next couple weeks.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. On the other side of the break, Daniel, we're going to talk to somebody from Red State. Not just somebody. The editor, Eric Erickson.
Red State.
Yes. He was listening in on the line. We'll ask him how he feels about the wide open field and what he thought about McCain's win and Huckabee. I almost said Huckabee.
Huckaboing.
Huckabee. I heard a New York anchor say that. Whether or not Mike Huckabee will have a bounce back. Mitt Romney, what's going on there? Oh, Eric will explain it to us. Stay with us here at the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart.
And I'm Daniel Holloway. Recapping our top story, New Hampshire primary results are in. Hillary Clinton topped Barack Obama 39% to 36% in the Democratic field. John McCain took the Republican side over Mitt Romney 37 to 32. We just talked to liberal blogger Bill Scher. Now we turn to the right and welcome Eric Erickson, editor of the conservative blog Red State, to see what folks on that blog are saying about the New Hampshire primary results. Hi, Eric.
Good morning.
So there are a lot of headlines calling McCain's victory in New Hampshire an upset. Is it an upset?
Well, to some degree it is. I mean, unfortunately for Mitt Romney, he built all these massive expectations that he was going to win Iowa and then go into New Hampshire. And now he's just kind of bombed out on both of them. I mean, Governor next door, vacation house in the state, millions in the state, $10 million. He's definitely going to win. And, well, go figure.
As Bill was just saying, McCain has basically been camped out in New Hampshire for 6 weeks. So even with Romney's proximity to the place and the billions of dollars that he's dumped into the state, is it that surprising?
You know, I think the most surprising thing is that, I mean, this past summer, every single person that I know was running a Deadpool on how long it was before McCain had to drop out. So to some degree, I mean, keep that in perspective. Yes, this is a stunning turnaround for John McCain that he was able, I mean, to weather the summer. No one knows how he's keeping his campaign alive. I mean, has he sold some of his kids or something to be able to afford to keep going? I don't know.
And what was it then? Can you posit as to why the McCain
research? I think it was a couple of things. One, I have decided that New Hampshire hates to validate Iowa.
They're just like siblings, like mad siblings. If you say red, I say blue.
Exactly.
Vanilla. You say vanilla. I say chocolate.
Yeah, and then, you know, a lot of people are positing this theory, and if you look at the way independents actually did vote in the Republican primary, some people are positing the theory that everybody thought Obama had it in the bag, so people decided they'd go vote in the Republican primary for John McCain. As a friend of mine said last night, he thought it was a much more cheerful night than Iowa. He wasn't really depressed over Iowa, but it was just the thought of all the earnest new political types and independents having their harps ripped out by the loss of Obama.
Well, thanks, New Hampshire, for being a bummer.
Yeah, exactly.
So what does Romney do from here?
I think Romney goes and tries to make his big last stand in Michigan. He will have some sympathetic people out there to spin for him, saying this is it. He's going to be the comeback kid, just like Bill Clinton going into Michigan. The problem for him, though, is that Michigan voters really like John McCain, and John McCain really hasn't looked like he had the fire in the belly to run through this thing, and now all of a sudden he's won New Hampshire going into Michigan.
I saw a comment on Red State that a person felt Romney's finish helps Huckabee because it pushes Huckabee to the top of the list of the more hard the conservatives who, you know, the very conservative conservatives.
Yeah, I think it helps Huckabee, and I think it helps Fred Thompson in South Carolina, because a lot of people had this idea that Mitt Romney was invulnerable. There's no way he could be beat. He had the money. He had the hair to keep it going. And now all of a sudden, he's been beaten twice. So the very evangelicals are going to go to Huckabee, the folks who absolutely hate McCain, and there are a whole lot of them, but they're not necessarily super evangelicals. They're probably going to look at Fred Thompson a second time.
So at this point, Eric, why do you think that on the Republican side, the race is so wide open?
Well, you know, part of it, frankly, I think, is that there's this idiocy from the Republicans and the Democrats both to have this very compacted primary schedule, which I think just generates a weak candidate with no money on both sides. We saw that happen in 2004 with the Democrats. The other thing is that Mitt Romney has really sucked all the air out of the race with his money and ad buys, but at the end of the day, no one really trusts him. They just haven't been able to pay attention to any of the other candidates because Mitt Romney's consumed the airwaves. So now they're going to start looking at the other candidates, and I actually think you'll probably see this race kind of wrap up here now in the next few weeks, probably when we get to Super Duper Absolutely Orgasmic Tuesday.
Do you have any predictions for that day?
You know, the cynic in me thinks they're just going to split everything and we'll go into a broker convention and just walk out the door and give a check to the Democrats, hand them the White House. I suspect, though, that you're going to see Giuliani fight it out with McCain in Florida. McCain's going to come back in Michigan and Florida. Huckabee's going to take South Carolina. And then McCain is basically going to ride into Super Tuesday heading out west to the not very evangelical states and become the nominee on Super Tuesday.
Well, who's going to win the general, Eric? You seem to have it all mapped out.
Well, if Hillary really does become the Democratic nominee, I think the Republicans have a shot. As James Carville has been famous for saying, this is the Democrats' year, and the good news for Republicans is the Democrats have a habit of losing these things.
Getting back to Rudy, he's been camped out in Florida. Can you explain just how badly he has done in Iowa and New Hampshire?
Oh, Well, yeah, I can explain Iowa. He came in behind Ron Paul.
Yeah.
There you go. The problem for Rudy, it's not that bad of a strategy. As his campaign tells everybody, and they're right, every single person in this race is out of money. The difference is that Rudy's already placed off his ad buys for Super Tuesday, and no one else has. The only guy who can compete at that level is Mitt Romney. So Rudy's ahead in Florida. He's been playing down in Florida. I got to tell you, I was in Florida this past weekend, and every 5 minutes there was a Rudy Giuliani commercial. So, I mean, maybe this late strategy isn't a bad strategy, because everybody's been scared the bejesus out of Mike Huckabee now.
Now, before we let you go, Eric, what on your blog, how do you feel, someone who wants to see a conservative person in the White House, how'd you feel about Hillary Clinton's win last night?
You know, I just thought it was absolutely hilarious. There are a large number of Washington media types who have, like, gone into hiding today, and Oprah and Obama have probably hired food tasters by now. I mean, this is the oh, she's going to lose. I actually relished the thought of someone taking her out, but gosh, you know, she's back in. I got to give it to him. This was pretty amazing that she was able to get back in this race with all the independents deciding Obama had it in the bag. They were going to go jump ship and vote Republican.
Eric Erickson, editor of the conservative blog Red State, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.